few errors of the Shlakodish on this week's Sedra. Just working through and putting together. The Sedra starts by Yeshev, Yaakov, Be'ered, Megure Yoviv. And Rashi picks up on Vayeshev. Vayeshev means that he sat, he dwelt, in Yiddish, he settled down. And Chazal say there was a problem with that. Because Yaakov leishev b'shalva. What is Yaakov settled? What was he so settled about? Loidayon tzadikim. Tzadikim can settle down. Loilam haba. In oilam hazeh, the tzadik still has work to do. And therefore, kafasol avruzei shal yisus. There was a whole story of mechiras yisus. So what we have to work out is, what was the haba of Vayeshev Yaakov? Why did Yaakov think that the time had come to settle down? And why, in truth, does the Torah say that he wasn't finished yet, there's still something ahead of him, Ruzei Shal Yosef? I'd like to try and explain that based on the taich of the Shlok. Now, to really understand anything, but particularly Yaakov Avinu, we have to go back right to the beginning. The root of the whole issue of Tov and Ra, of any inyan of the life of the Tzaddik, has to get back to Chet Adam Rishon. The Ramchal and Derech Hashem tells us that the world changed completely at the time of Adam Rishon's Chet. It was the most important point in history. There was before Chet Adam Rishon and after Chet Adam Rishon. There never was such a change, certainly for the negative, during the history of the world. Before Chet Adam Rishon and after Chet Adam Rishon. The result of that Chet, you see in the passage, was Nisa. The fact that human beings are mortal, the fact that there is death, is only because of Chet Adam Rishon, which is enough to make us sit up and consider that there must have been a tremendous difference. Besides for the various other midrashim, now what changed? But before Chet Adam Rishon, a human being lived forever. A person was born, and that was the Adam Rishon would have been here forever and ever. We would have still met it. But because of the Chet, now there's a Knas of Nisa. One difference. The second interesting difference is, the Pasuk tells us, before the Chet, Adam and Chava were walking around, and Taka, they weren't dressed, but v'lo yisboishoshu, they felt no shame. There was no busha, there was no tzniut. After the Chet, immediately, the first thing they do is they want to run and hide. Oh yeah, sheni rachma, they felt embarrassed at the fact that they weren't dressed. Before the Chet, there's no busha. After the Chet, there is busha. What does that mean? Additionally, the first thing is an Oynish. If you do an Averus, the Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes you. What's the worst punishment there could be? Put a person to death. It's the most serious punishment. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, there'll be Misach. Although it doesn't quite explain why we, his descendants, should deserve Misach. We didn't do any Averus. He didn't have Averus. It's okay for him to get punished. Why should we get punished? Good, but at least we can understand the concept. But when it comes to the Shaila of Tznius, of Busha, why does that change from before the Chet after the Chet? To really try and work out what Adam Rishon's experience was before Chet is something that by definition is beyond our comprehension, because we live in a world that's after Chet. But let's take one of our basic experiences and relate that back, the Fiyo Kenu, to Adam Rishon. We talk about Melchemes Hayetzer, so like a normal challenge that every human being faces all the time. What's our experience when we have a Milchemes Hayetzer? When there's something, let's take something very simple, a shayla is something that I want to eat. I really, really, really want to eat it, but there's a good reason not to. I'm not sure about the hechsher. So I've got two sides. On the one hand, my mind tells me, how can you eat that? It might not be kosher. It might be something that is also al pidin. Mitzad sheni, on the other hand, I desperately want to eat that. That experience, the experience of that tug of war, that inner pull, where on the one hand there's a part of me that knows that I can't possibly do that, and on the other hand I have that feeling that I really do want to eat this, or look at this, or have contact with this, whatever it is that the Nisayon is. I'm pulled from within in two directions, my mind and my feelings. In other words, the Neshama and the Guf. A human being is built of two parts. The emes, the seichel, the neshama, that tells him what's right and pulls him in the right direction. but then we have feelings that really pull us in the other direction. That experience of the Marisha never had. Of the Marisha never had an internal struggle where he felt he wanted to do something which didn't make sense. If it didn't make sense, then he didn't want to do it. Or the Marishan's goof was not a goof that pulled him towards Olam Hazeh. Before the Chet, the very essence of everything he had, even his physical function, were naturally directed towards doing that which was right. We have many different feelings, many different parts of the body. We achieve, we do things, we're constructive with our hands. We get places with our feet. We're aware of the world through our senses. In Olam Marishan's world, every one of those senses and every part of his body was naturally directed towards that which his mind dictated was the right thing to do. In the Lashon of the Shlok, there was a unity to every part of his body. We have the mind pulling one way and the physical body pulling in another. Adam Marishan was unified. There was an Aleph, the Aleph of Adam, the unity, the Chelik Alikamimau, his Neshama, the Talib Men, the Dam Hu Anefesh, there was the physical body, but it was all one person, it was all Adam, it was all one human being, completely focused to that which was right. That's all before the Chet. Before the Chet, Chazal say there was a tremendous beauty. Adam Marishan had a Shufra. Why beauty? Why was Adam Marishan described as being beautiful? What is beauty? What does it mean when we say something is beautiful? The essence of beauty is that something's in harmony. Perfection is two things that are fitting in with each other. When you see a picture, it can be either a picture, it can be a view, it can be a human being. Well, when you see that person, what you see is complete harmony. There's not two messages. When we see a human being, there are two messages. His eyes, if they're the eyes that represent the Shama, the face often expresses that which is internal, the feelings, the emotions, the aspirations and inspiration of the person. You see that on the one hand. On the other hand, every human being has mixed in lots of other feelings that are not so pure. Therefore you don't see complete beauty like you would see by other Marishan. So in other Marishan's world, everything was completely harmonized. Shufrei the other. Another Nusach in the Lashon of the Shlok. After the Chet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothed Adam Arishan in Kosnois Oyer, clothes of skin. How do you spell Oyer? With an eye. But the Rebbe in Chazal, that before the Chet, he also had Kosnois, he also had clothes. There were also Kosnois Oyer, but then Oyer was spelt with an aleph. Instead of clothes of skin, it was clothes of light. It was beautiful. When you saw the Marishan, you saw a body that naturally reflected that which was inside. Nothing to be ashamed of. Of course Allah is by Shashu. Because the body said the same as the Neshama. It said, no, go do what's right. I'm here as the Kalim, as the means to express that which is the Neshama wants to achieve. There was no contradiction. It was Kosnos Oyer, clothes of light, with an mouth. After the Chet, all of a sudden, that same body has changed from clothes of Oyer, of light, the cosmos, Oyer with an ayin, Oyer in the same letters as Iver, with a blindness, it covers over that which the Neshama wants to really express. And therefore, a person has to cover himself with clothes so that he's not viewed, not seen, not perceived as that physical body. It's embarrassing. We don't want to be part of something that drags us away from real tachlis, from netzach, from eternity. So we have that balance between the aleph and the dom. Before the Chet, it's Adam, it's one unity. After the Chet, that Aleph of the Adam and the Aleph of the Oyer has disappeared and we're left with clothes of skin. Adam Rish. And it's not surprising, of course, that there's Misa in the world, but there has to be death, because that physical body can't be allowed to continue. It can't enter Olam Haba. It can't enter the world of perfection. After Misa, and the Neshama goes to Olam Haba, and ultimately this Tchiyas HaMeisim, where the Guf is revived in a new form, and form that Shaya to Olam Haba. Ramchal Baruch Hashem continues. He says, now that the world has been messed up, or the Marishan has done something that leaves devastating consequences, we have to sort that out. That has to be fixed up. The way to do that, says the Ramchal. The way to do that, says Ramchal, is for other people who are the descendants of other Marishim to perfect themselves. Everything that Klal Yisrael are doing, right from Avraham Avinu, all the way to our existence today, our struggles with mitzvahs and aveiros, are all an attempt to get back to the level of other Marishim Kelim Achim. And that was what was so special about the Avos HaKadoshim, about Avraham, about Yitzchak, and about Yaakov. They were the ones who, with their avodah, began the tikkun of building a nation who would be able to get back to other Marishim Kelim Achim. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So the Shloch, the first time you could see a little bit of other Marishim back with Yaakov Avinu. We had the avodah of Avraham, the avodah of Yitzchak, and now with Yaakov Avinu, the Gemara says, Shufrei de Yaakov, men Shufrei de Avraham Avinu. The beauty of Yaakov was a little bit like that beauty of Adam Rishon Kedem Achet. When you saw Yaakov Avinu, you began to see a guf again that reflected Ruchnis. A guf that wasn't a contradiction naturally to the Neshama. A little bit of that Aleph of the Kosmos Ur, clothes of light, a little bit of purity. An interesting thing you see by Yaakov Avinu. Normally, you talk about the guf as something that's negative, something to be ashamed of, something you don't want to have contact with. By Yaakov Avinu, everything he had, even his physical possessions, were part of his talent. Because he lives in a world of cosmos, oh, with an aleph. Even the guf is meir, even the guf is shaykh to ruchnis. So the Chazal in Meir Digger thing, when Yaakov Avinu came to get married, he said to Lavan, Hova, Ishti, etc. He says, Bavoy, I mean, said Rashi, that is not a way to speak. You say, you go into details. Even a person who's less cultured than Avraham Avinu, than Yaakov Avinu, wouldn't speak that way. Zot Rashi, but Yaakov Avinu came to be Ma'amid Shvatim. Yaakov Avinu, when he came to be Oisik with Inyone Aguf, when he was doing something physical, was also involved in that which was Ruchni. His guf wasn't a contradiction. There was no busha. There was no need for tzniyah, because he had a me'en of the other militia before the chet. That's why we find Yaakov Avinu, Vayivoster Yaakov Levadri. The description of Yaakov Avinu at the height of his highest madrega, how do we describe Yaakov Avinu? Levadri. What does Chazal say on that? Ah, that reminds me of a pasuk. The Nisgav Hashem Levadoi Dayayim Havu. Yaakov Levadoi and the Osid Lavoi. In times of Mashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Levadoi. The Gili, the revelation of a world where there's only one, there's only an Aleph, there's only that Aleph that brings everything together. All the Dam is also part of the Adam. That you see in Yaakov, you know. A Levadoi. A world in which there's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu hidden, and you're distracted by so many other things which seem to think to be as important as Avodah Hashem. No, Levadu, just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why you say Yaakov? Levadu. And what did Chazal dash on that Levadu? The Levadu really should be read as Lekadoi. By Vasa Yaakov Levadoi, Rashi Chazal say Lekadoi, he went back to pick up Pachim Sanim, some small insignificant keli. It's insignificant in as much as it's a keli in Olam Hazeh, as much as it's physical. But if that keli is also part of his function and is going to get into Olam Haba, it's also part of his kosmos. Oh, there are no insignificant kelim. It's also part of his tachlis. If he's levadoi, there's a lekadoi. Yaakov Avinu lo ro'o keri miyomo. There was nothing physical about Yaakov Avinu that wasn't 100% focused to perfection. And that's why the middle of Yaakov is the middle of Emes. MS means that you have clarity, you have truth, there is nothing there that is sheker. You can have tayv and ra, good and evil, so you have a mixture. Every one of us is a little bit tayv and a little bit ra. But when it gets to MS is contrary, there can't be any sheker in the context. Where there's MS, there's no sheker. MS, by definition, is something that stands levadoi. So you have Yaakov Avinu, Hayan Shufrid Adam Rishon. Yaakov has some of that beauty of other Rishon. We're getting back to that purity, to the Aleph, to the Shechina, to the Ur, to that light of what other Rishon was before the Chet. Yaakov, Nidus Emes, stands Levadri. His Gashmius is not a steward to Israel. That's stage one. But says the Shlo, that's not the end of the story. We find in the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we talk about revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'ilam, that the Pasuk uses a double lashon. La'asid Lavi, times of Mashiach, there'll be a world of Levadri, a world where the only thing we'll see is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see the only purpose in life is getting close to Him. All the other distractions will disappear. How does the Pasuk describe that? Bayim Ahu, Yihyeh, Hashem Echod, Ushmoy Echod. Why do you need both? Why do you need two Echod? Hashem Echod and Shemoy Echod. So the Shlakosh. Because sometimes, although you have Midas HaEmes, although you have a person who in himself internally recognizes the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means that there are pockets in the Bria, there are places where the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, Hashem Echad. But when you go outside, when you go beyond those places of Kedusha, and you start looking at the world, the physical world, you're not talking to Yaakov Avinu, you're talking to the rest of the world. When it comes to Shmoy, when it comes to revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam, things are not necessarily so clear. You can have Hashem Echad, but you haven't yet reached Shemoy Echad, haven't been revealed completely in the Bria. So that when the Pasuk says Ha Emes V'Hashaloim Ehovu, it's telling us there are two Madregas. There's a Madrega called Emes, which is Hashem Echad. There's a Madrega called Shaloim, which is the harmony in the Bria, and that is Shemoy Echad, Hashem Echad and Shemoy Echad. And if we want perfection, we have to have Echad times two. The Gematria of Echod is 13, 2 Echod is Chavav is 26, like Yud Kei Vav Kei. If you want to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name fully, you need Hashem Echod, the essence of Kivyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gilui, and Shemoy Echod. And that revelation, the pile in the Bria. One of the places where we see this is in the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we are reading the Siddur, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is written most of the time is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay, when we get to there, what do we read? We read the Shem Agnes. We say Adoshim. Why don't you read it? You can't say the name of Hashem. So why do you say Adoshim? Have you read that? Your kid starts to read, and he's reading through, and he says, "Yeah, stop, say Adoshim." I'm a Shteknish. That's not what it says in my Siddur. I said this is Yukevokim, but it's not Adnus. So the Briskerols, Adnus is a way of reading the Shem Havaya. What does that mean? I was Shem Havaya or Shem Adam. Havaya, Kivyachol, the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, represents the Lashon Hoyda, Hoyo Hoyda the year means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the essence of everything in the world. There is nothing. Mamnish Ein Beinu Vavu. To recognize that as Madrega, that you have to be Shaykh to the Mechus Hadova, to the essence of Ein Beinu Vavu. Even if you can't get to Hashem Echad, you can get some level of Shemoy Echad. We can understand something about his control in the Bria. Not maybe there's nothing else beyond him, but that he's othering, that he's a master, that we can appreciate. So what the level we can read the Shem Havaya is Adnus. The Shem Havaya is Hashem Echad. Shem Adnus is the revelation of Shemoy Echad. There's two parts in the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash had a part that was beyond a human being, the Kodesh Kodoshim. The only person who can ever get there is somebody on the Madrega of Kohen Gadol, one time in the year on Yom HaKippurim. But the Etzem, that is off limits. To get to the Madrega of clarity within our experience of this world of Hashem Echad, a Kohen Gadol for Yom HaKippurim. Kohen Gadol is on the Madrega of Hashem Echad of Ein Lo Avadim Mamash. The rest of the year, where can we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? In the Heichal. Outside the Kodesh Kodoshim is a Mokim Avodah. It's a place where you can light a menorah, where you can be Makriv Keteris, where you can bring Lechem Aponim. That's all in Yonim that are Shaykh to Elam Hazret, that are Shaykh to our world. That's the Shein Adnus, the Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the way He controls the world and the way we relate to Him. Not the essence of Kivyachol, his mitzvah is the way to Niskala Ba'ilah. You've got Hashem Echad, Shemoy Echad. In other words, Emes and Shalom, Havaya and Adnus, Kodesh Kodoshim and Heichol. Heichal is the same gematria as Adnus. Adnus is 65. Heichal is the Havaya. The Heichal Kochoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself in Heichal. Haf Miponav Kal Haaretz. When there's Adnus, haf, everybody's quiet, everybody's shocked, they have nothing to say anymore. The Odein is speaking. Haf is also the same gematria as Adnus. Heichal, Adnus, haf. Good. Atzil. Oy Vazayz of the Shloh, the Avodah of Yaakov, reaching Midas HaEmes was not the end of the journey. Because although he's reached Emes, what about Shalom? He has Hashem Echad, but what about Shema Echad? So you're going to say Yaakov Avinu should be Megalavet. How can he? Yaakov Avinu doesn't have a contradiction within himself. He can't go out to the world and show that there's nothing that stands against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's Shayach Hashem Echad. So what you need is someone who's not like Yaakov Avinu, who isn't in the Madrega of Emes, someone who has challenges, who lives very much in the Olam HaMaisa, very much in the physical world, who knows only too well the temptations of the human body. And that person should go out and be Oymeid Ben Yisoyon. The word for that in Lashon HaKodesh is Tzadik. What we need is somebody who's not a Yosha, who's not Yisrael, not with beyond this unit, somebody who's still on the level of tzaddik, of a constant struggle between Tov and Ra. For that, Yaakov Avinu has to have a son, Yosef HaTzaddik. Yosef HaTzaddik goes out tacker to the land of Mitzrayim. He's put through the most incredible, terrible ordeals of Nisoyon, and he withstands those Nisoyonis. He brings Hashem Echad into the world, Shema Echad. Ha'emes the Hashalim Ehovu. That's the Madrega of Yosef, and that's why Yaakov Avinu needs a son, Zafke Yosef Hatzadi. A Madrega of the Shalom Eredigadach. We found in Pashta Yetzi, Yaakov's been working for Lavan. He seems pretty happy there, there's no signs of leaving. All of a sudden, by Yikasha Yoldo, Yachel, Yosef's born, and Yaakov says, oh, if Yosef's born, okay, Lavan, I'm going home. What says, what suddenly happened? You seemed comfortable yesterday, what changed? But Rashi, Yaakov knew that the moment he leaves Lavan's house to go back home, there's someone coming to attack, Esau. Esau stands against the concepts that Yaakov believes in. His ideology is the absolute opposite of Yaakov. Where Yaakov is Emes and Shalom, the midas of Esau are Kinah and Sinah. Kinah is the opposite of Emes. Kinah means you're not relating to something as its essence. Kinah is the opposite of Emes, and Sinah is obviously the opposite of Shalom. So Yaakov Avinu knows he has to go out. He wants to reveal Emes and Shalom, but he can't. He has the Emes, but he doesn't have the Shalom. But Mishanoilad Yosef, once Yosef is born, then he has the Shalom, he has the Shema Yechod, he has someone who can bring that into the real world. Oh, that's how you can go out and fight it, Esau. Rashi brings a pasuk on that. Tremendous mashal. Yaakov is Eish. Yaakov is the essence. He's the coal. He's the burning fire. But he has no shalhedes. He has no flame. He can't go out and affect others. So you need the Beis Yaakov Eish. That's Yaakov Avinu's Avodah. You also need the Beis Yosef Lehava. That flame that can go out and consume the Esau, which is cash, which is straw, which is chesedis. Beis Yaakov combined with Beis Yosef can consume Esau. It's not by chance. The word Eish is Rosh HaTevet, Emes and Shalom, and Esau cash is Rosh HaTevet, Kinah and Sinah. The Keach of Yaakov's Eish can only be fully revealed with the Keach of Yosef. Yosef is the Gilui B'Poel of Yaakov, and that's why Yosef has to go down to Mitzrayim. And Yosef is the one who B'Poel in the real world will bring into the world the Kosmos O with an Aleph, bring the world back to Madrega, where we have clothes of O, a guf that is made. That's why maybe there's such a dogish that the Shloh on the Ksonis that Yaakov Avinu made to Yosef. Well, we understand now why Yosef has to be a Feitayav, a Feimaret. Yosef is beautiful. Yosef has a guf that really reflects his inner beauty, because he's the henshut, the continuation of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov gives Yosef a kesonis passing, and it was important enough that the pasuk has to mention it, because the kesonis, the clothes, the chitzonis, is what we're trying to be mesaken. And the melech, when the shvatim, who misunderstood Yosef and the purity of his intention, stripped Yosef of his madrega and didn't allow him to be who he was, to be the leader, they took off his kesonis. That's the point of the Mechilas Yosef. It's so important to mention that you're taking off the kesonis of Yosef. Yeah, they took off the kesonis of Yosef. They took off that kosnis ur, that clarity that he had. And then obviously the world then goes back to the world of Gufnir somewhat. Vayitzbulu as a kesonis badom. You're taking off the aleph and you're getting back into the dam, the physicality of Inyan Yaakov. That may be a hezbollah before we get to Hanukkah of why Yaakov had a havamina that his avodah had been finished, because the full level of avodah had been reached, that Hashem Echad, which was Yaakov's own personal perfection, had been reached completely. So by Yeshav Yaakov because Yaakov Yeshav Shalva, until now that he wasn't Madrega of Hashem Echad completely, he thought he knew that he had a job. Now he thought maybe it won't be as stressful, won't be as demanding. No, a tzaddik can never stop. You've got another level to reach, which is Yosef HaTzaddik. I said, lovely, that won't be a problem. But now you've still got to work on Tafasalov, Rufish of Yosef. When we talk about Kriyach HaRal, when we talk about powers of evil, distractions from Avodas Hashem, we tend to think of those who come and say, no spirituality, no Ruchnis, no Shaykhus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those who attack Hashem Echad. But there was one nation who fought not Hashem Echad, but only Shmoy Echad. They were the only of the Golius, Yovan, the Greeks were the only ones who took control of the Beit HaMikdash, but didn't try and destroy it. They have no problem with Hashem Echad. They have no problem with the Kodesh Kodashim standing with an Orin and Luchas. Their problem is with Shmoy Echad. They don't mind concepts. They don't mind philosophy. They don't mind spirituality. Just don't Lord, leave me out. Don't make too many demands on me. Hashem Echad, fine, as long as he stays there. But Shmoy Echad, to bring it into the Bria, that's where they fight. The Kodesh of Yovan was against Hechad. The Gemara says that they were Metano all the Shmanim Sheva Hechad. They weren't out to destroy Shemanu. Shemanu Sheva Hechol. The Hechol, the place where Klal Yisrael relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a practical level. You want to learn Musa? You want to learn Torah? Detached, without any Musa, as long as it doesn't come on. That's fine. They were the first glad to take any serious interest in Torah. They translated the Torah to Yavonis. But it wasn't because they wanted to be misbattled, because they wanted to take the Torah seriously and bring it into their lives. No. Let there be Hashem Echol, but not Shmoy Echol. Hechol. Gematria 65, but the Maral Yovan is Gematria 66. They tried to get one up on the Hechel. And the Keach of the Chashmenoim, and how Keach, when we're Madlik Menorah, is to bring a little more of the Oyer into the world, to bring the Gilu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Olam, and maybe be Zeicher, that through that we'll get back to some level of Kofnei's Oyer, of the Aleph of Adam, and that we won't be so dragged down that. And eventually we'll get the time to carve mamish to buy in Ahu Yeh Hashem Echad Ishmael.